The sermon title today is What a Week, and probably any one of us could write a sermon called What a Week, am I right? Well, Jesus had an exceptionally weird week, the week that we call Holy Week. We saw this morning as Pat brought our donkey and walked down the street, how the disciples were sent to get the donkey to fulfill that scripture from Zechariah 9:9. What we didn't see was what happened after they brought the donkey. Let me read to you the rest of that scripture. The disciples replied exactly as Jesus had instructed them, and the people let them alone. They brought the colt to Jesus. They spread their coats on it, and he mounted. And the people gave him a wonderful welcome, some throwing their coats on the street, others spreading out rushes or palms that they had cut in the fields. Running ahead and following after, they were calling out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in God's name. Blessed be the coming of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." And so Jesus entered Jerusalem, and then he entered the temple. He looked around, taking it all in. But by now it was late. So he went back to Bethany with the 12. The people took their cloaks and they spread them on the road as Jesus rode the donkey down that street that day. Putting a cloak down on the ground like that is a sign that royalty is coming. You see, the people believed that Jesus was the one they had been waiting for, and that he was coming to be a king, that he would take over as David had been king, that he would be a king in that same way. What they failed to note was that he was riding on a donkey, a little tiny, gentle animal that he was able to bring, even though it had never been ridden, and he rode down the street on that donkey as the people waved their palms, shouting, "Hosanna," which means, "Lord, save us." Every time we shout Hosanna, we are shouting, "Lord, save us." And the palms are also a representation of waving at royalty. And so the first day, Sunday, of Holy Week teaches us that sometimes we can see what we believe to be true, and it's not exactly as we thought it would be. It also teaches us that we can have unrealistic expectations because we have come up with that in our minds instead of seeing God's plan in all of it. The second day, Monday, Jesus and the disciples went back to Bethany and they spent the night there. And so when they arrived back in Jerusalem, this is from the New Living Translation, Jesus entered the temple and he began to drive out the people buying and selling animals for sacrifice. He knocked over the tables of the money changers and the chairs of those selling doves, and he stopped everyone from using the temple as a marketplace. He said to them, "The scriptures declare, 'My temple will be called a house of prayer for all nations,' but you have turned it into a den of thieves." And when the leading priests and teachers of religious law heard what Jesus had done, they began planning how to kill him, but they were afraid of him because the people were so amazed at his teaching. Jesus went into the temple that day and he knocked the tables over and threw the money on the ground. They had turned the table into a place where people could come, just like we would go to the bank and turn our dollars into pesos, because you see, Jerusalem was filled with people that day. They were getting ready for the Passover, and the Passover had become something of a marketable experience. And so people came to the temple to buy animals for sacrifice and to buy trinkets and to buy all kinds of things. And Jesus said, "You have turned my temple into a marketplace." And he quoted to them from Zephaniah as he said, "My house will be called a house of prayer. This is probably the only example we have of Jesus becoming so angry that he lost his temper. And so Holy Week teaches us, the second day of Holy Week teaches us that sometimes we can forget the holiness of the temple, and we can forget the importance of prayer in the body of Christ. The next day, Tuesday, I'm reading these scriptures to you to give you an idea of what happened each day. It was now 2 days before the Passover and the Festival of Unleavened Bread. The leading priests and teachers of religious law were still looking for an opportunity to capture Jesus secretly and kill him. But not during the Passover celebration, they agreed, or the people may riot. Meanwhile, Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon, a man who had previously had leprosy. And while he was eating, a woman came in with a beautiful alabaster jar of expensive perfume made from essence of nard. She broke open the jar and poured the perfume over his head. Some of those at the table were indignant. "Why waste such expensive perfume?" they asked. "It could have been sold for a year's wages, and the money given to the poor." So they scolded her harshly. But Jesus replied, "Leave her alone. Why criticize her for doing such a good thing to me? You will always have the poor among you, and you can help them whenever you want to. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could and has anointed my body for burial ahead of time. I tell you the truth, wherever the good news is preached throughout the world, this woman's deed will be remembered and discussed." That's from the Gospel of Mark. All four Gospels talk about these events. And many, two of them at least, ascribe those words, "Why did you waste that?" to Judas. And they go on to say that Judas didn't say that because he was worried about the poor. He said that because he dipped into the treasury from time to time, and they go so far as to say Judas was a thief. But Mary, the brother of Lazarus, that is who Scripture tells us in other places, came and poured the perfume, the oil, and anointed Jesus for burial. She knew the most important thing, not how much money was in the treasury, but if we and she was serving the Lord appropriately. And so the third day of Holy Week reminds us that sometimes we can get indignant about things that really aren't even important, and we can lose sight of what the most important thing really is. The next scripture comes from Mark, the 14th chapter. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray Jesus to them. They were delighted to hear this and promised to give him money. So he watched for an opportunity to hand Jesus over. Many people believe that Judas went to the chief priests because of the very thing that had happened the night before. But we all know that one tiny thing like that is not enough to cause us to betray our friends. Many, many things added up to cause Judas, for whatever reason, to go to the priests and to take 30 pieces of silver in exchange for his friend's life. And so he went that night and told the priests where they would be able to find Jesus. And they asked him to please bring Jesus to a quiet and secluded place so that when they came to arrest him, there wouldn't be people all around because they were afraid of the people. And so the fourth day of Holy Week reminds us that there is in every single one of us the ability to yield to temptation and to betray those we love when we are given wrong information or when we put ourselves at the center of the relationship without regard for the other. Now the third day, or the next day, was Thursday. Now Thursday was a really big day. And so let me read you that scripture. When evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12. And while they were reclining at the table eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." The disciples were saddened, and one by one they said to him, "Surely you don't mean me." "It is one of the 12," Jesus replied, "one who dips bread into the bowl with me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him, but woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." And while they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said to them, "Take, this is my body." And then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And Jesus said, "This is my blood of a new covenant, which is poured out for many," he said. "Truly I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Another thing that happened on that Thursday, you see, that was Passover. And there was a lot to do to get ready for that Passover meal. Many things have to be in place for the Passover meal to begin. And so the disciples went and got all of the things they needed for the meal that night. And when they came back, they sat down at table as they always did. And you will find out on Thursday that a Passover meal is very, very scripted. And that night, Jesus broke off from that script. And he said, "This is my body broken for you. This is my blood, the cup of the new covenant." Now, I'm sure that they all exchanged glances and couldn't figure out what was going on. But Jesus also said that there would be one who would betray him. And Judas excused himself from the table. And that night, they went to the Garden of Gethsemane, where it was quiet and secluded, and where Jesus prayed, and where he asked the disciples to stay awake with him while he prayed, and yet they all fell asleep as they waited. He prayed to God, "Please take this cup from me, but not my will, your will." And as we know, the soldiers came to arrest him, and Judas pointed out who he was by giving him a kiss on the cheek. And the soldiers took him away. And first they took him to Herod, and Herod sent him to Pontius Pilate, who was the governor of the region. And Pontius Pilate asked the Jewish leaders, "What do you want me to do with him? I have nothing against this man." And the Jewish leaders said, "But we can't get involved in civil problems." And so Pontius Pilate questioned Jesus all night long. And after all of that, he had him scourged and beaten. And still, Jesus would not confess to doing anything wrong. And then that morning, Pontius Pilate went to the people and made them pass the sentence, which we will see. Jesus also washed the feet of the disciples on Thursday night, taking the form of a slave and washing their feet to show them how much he loved them. and to give them a model of what it looks like to be a servant. And so the fifth day of Holy Week teaches us that things are not always as they seem, and that all of us have it within us to deny our friends, and all of us have the model of Jesus to learn what it means to be a servant. The next day is Good Friday, and I sometimes wonder what's good about it, but I guess the good thing is that that was the day that Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice for us. And so it's hard to decide when Thursday ended and Friday began. But Jesus was taken before Pilate, and Pilate said, "I find nothing wrong with him." And so there was a tradition on Passover that the Jews could give leniency and pardon a criminal on Passover. And so Pontius Pilate, not willing to make a political decision, went to the people and said, "I have Jesus here, and I have Barabbas who has incited riots. Which would you choose? I have nothing against Jesus here. He's broken no laws." And the people said, "Crucify Jesus." And they let Barabbas go. And so Jesus was caused, he had to take his own cross and carry it with him to the hill of Golgotha. And don't forget that he had been beaten the night before. And so he was bleeding and cut. And he had to carry that cross. And finally, a man from the crowd, the crowds lined the streets. Just as they lined the streets on Sunday to say, "Lord, save us," they lined the streets on Friday to say, "Death to Jesus." And a man stepped out of the crowd, Simon from Cyrene. And he took Jesus' cross and carried that cross for him so that he could get to the top of that hill. And so the Roman soldiers put Jesus on the cross, and he hung there all day, and his disciples gathered. Although many had denied him and run away, Peter had denied him three times. After Jesus said, "You will deny me three times," Peter said, "Oh, I'll never deny you." But in fact, he did three times, just as Jesus said. And so Jesus hung there all day long, and the soldiers cast lots for his clothing. And some of them took this piece of clothing and some that piece of clothing. And at one point, Jesus said, I'm thirsty. And so the soldiers took a staff, and they put a sponge on the end of it and dipped it in vinegar. Our children made cookies this morning with vinegar as one of the ingredients, and they smelled that vinegar as they made those cookies to see if they would want to drink that. Can you imagine drinking vinegar when you're thirsty and dying? And so they put that up to him so that he could take a small drink of the vinegar on the end of the sponge. And they had placed a crown of thorns on his head, just to add to his torment. And so after a very long time, Jesus finally died. And he was truly dead. There are some who started a rumor at that time, and they said he didn't really die. They took his body and hid it someplace. But he was really dead, because they took a spear and stuck it in his side. And what came out was water and blood. And if you know anything about medicine, and I know very little, but I do know that that is a sign that death has occurred. And so the Roman soldiers took his body down at the end of that day, and they gave it to his disciples. But as he died, there was an earthquake in the region. And there was a huge, huge cloth that separated the temple from the Holy of Holies. And that cloth was torn from the top to the bottom. Not from the bottom to the top where a person could have done it, but from the top to the bottom, signifying that the temple was for all, that there would no longer be boundaries for those who could approach God. And so they took Jesus' body, and a man named Joseph from a place called Arimathea took it to a tomb that he had actually purchased for himself for when he died. And they laid Jesus' body in the tomb. And so the sixth day of Holy Week reminds us that death and tragedy come to all of us, and that our very best friends die, our families, family members die, and there's nothing but sorrow left. And then we come to Saturday. Now, Saturday, nothing happened. Scripture has nothing to tell us about what happened on Saturday. But put yourselves in the place of the disciples. Not in the place of people in the 21st century, but in the place of those disciples that Saturday. What might have been going through their minds? Our friend is dead. We believed he was the Messiah. And now he's gone. What are we going to do? What does that mean for us? But we do know that the women did get ready the spices and all of those things that he would need for burial, but they couldn't go that day because it was the Sabbath. And so we light this seventh candle to remind us that Jesus was in the tomb for those 3 days while the rest of the world waited. Holy Week begins with great celebration and wonderful affirmation, and it takes us all the way to a place of sheer devastation and loss. And yet, even in that, we know that God is still with us because we know what Easter is. And we will be celebrating that next Sunday. But we'll be reenacting some of these things this week, Thursday and Friday night, to get even a more detailed picture of those 2 days of Maundy Thursday and Good Friday. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.